Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Thanks for spending time today. I want to talk about a figure from the Old Testament, a man named Job. His story is one of the most intense and frankly challenging or disturbing stories in all of Scripture. If you're not familiar with it, you can go back and listen to the series we recently did at LifePoint through the book of Job, but here's kind of the overarching storyline. Job was a good man, a righteous man, and in almost an impossibly short period of time, he lost everything. He lost all 10 of his children, he lost his business, his wealth, all his livestock, and finally his own health, finding himself covered in painful sores. He's left sitting in ashes, in agony, and to make matters worse, his friends show up to tell him it was probably his fault. Now, because this story is in the Bible, there's this popular idea that can grow around a story like this. Like, we tend to mythologize somebody like Job and assume that a, you know, quote-unquote man of God in that situation would be faithful, would just have to be quiet and stoic and piously trust God without a single complaint. I mean, we have this image of Job maybe just taking it. The only problem with that picture is that it's almost completely backwards. If you actually read the book of Job, he is anything but quiet. He is enduring, yes, but he is also loud. He's frustrated. The whole story is messy and tragic. He is deeply and painfully honest. He argues with his friends. He questions God. He demands answers from heaven. And I think that's one of the most freeing truths in all of Scripture. Because Job's story gives us permission to be honest with our own frustration and suffering. It shows us our suffering doesn't have to be silent, doesn't have to be clean. It can be raw and real, right? And that's the backdrop for a very short but powerful passage we're looking at today. First, let's read it in. This is from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 11. He says this, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Notice the word James uses. In the ESV, it translates it as steadfastness or endurance. And it's not about being passive. It's about actively holding on. It's a word that means to remain under, as in, you know, to stay in the room, to not run, to bear the weight without breaking. Job remained. He didn't just walk away. He wrestled, he yelled, he despaired, but he did it all with God and never let go. And that's the encouragement for us. God already knows our hearts. He knows mine and yours. He knows our frustration. He knows our struggle to make sense of the brokenness in our lives. It's no surprise to him how we feel. So we should never fear going to God with our longing for relief and our why questions. God would rather we wrestle through our questions with him than walk away from him in silence. And here's the turn. This is the hardest but most important part. In our wrestling, God will not always give us the answers we long for. He may not give us the healing, the restored relationship, the financial relief, or the reason why it's happening or when it will end. If you read the end of Job, God shows up in a whirlwind. And he never answers a single one of Job's why questions, not one of them. Instead, he gives Job himself. He gives Job a vision of his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his sovereignty. And in the end, that is the only answer that can truly satisfy Job. It's the only one that will truly satisfy us. We don't get the reason, but we get his presence. And in that presence, our desperate seeking can slowly painfully and miraculously turn into trusting. That trust, forged in the fire, can eventually become a kind of hope and joy that the world simply cannot understand. It's a hope that isn't based on our circumstances improving, but on the unshakable character of God. That's when our lives become a living testimony. When the world sees us walking through the same fire they walk through, but with a very different hope, a different strength, it shines. Our lives point to the power of God's presence. As Paul said, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Our wounds, the very things we might try and hide, become the places where God's presence and comfort become most visible. And we may not see it now, but we can trust that our sufferings have a purpose. We may not always understand, but we can trust and persevere and eventually claim with Job, "He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." That is a hard, beautiful truth. Let's take a moment to bring our own hearts to God. Let's pray it up. Lord, we confess that trusting you in the dark is hard. We want answers, we want relief, and we want to understand why. Thank you for the honesty of Job, which gives us permission to be honest too. Father, your presence in our lives is the anchor. It makes the difference when we face the heartaches of life. You give us a hope that endures. Help us to live lives of such tangible hope that when people ask us for a reason, we can point them straight to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, what does it look like to drive to work or at home or in that difficult meeting for us to hold on to this type of hope? How do we live it out? See, we can't escape the fact that we live in a broken world. And sometimes that brokenness falls right on us. And when those seasons come, there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking God for relief. Please do that. But we have to be open to the possibility that God may have a bigger picture, one where your suffering and heartache become the very stage that displays your faith. I want to use a specific phrase. What if God is asking you to steward this challenging season? Stewarding isn't faking it. It's not putting on the plastic smile or the stiff upper lip. It's the exact opposite. Stewarding your suffering means being honest about the pain while being defiant in your hope. It's the ability to hold two things at once. The, "This is terrible and my heart is breaking," and "My God is good and he is with me." When you ask God for his sustaining power and not just remove the problem, but to uphold you in it, you demonstrate a supernatural strength, a supernatural faith, a supernatural hope and joy that makes no sense to a world that builds its entire life around avoiding pain. And that right there is what opens the door for the gospel. When your coworker, your neighbor, your child sees you grieving, but not without hope, when they see you wounded but not destroyed, they will eventually ask, "How are you doing this?" And that season, your willingness to walk through it well, leaning on Jesus, becomes the very channel for conversations that point to the kingdom of God. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.